Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. That's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want? We got a mind of optimism, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and all Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too. And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss the cream the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too. And you love this podcast too.
Welcome back, Players Mountain West Connection Show. This is Jeremy Moss here, hanging out with Chris Hondras on this lovely Thursday night. Sorry for the late show, folks, but you can always check us out, mwcconnection.com, mwcconnection on Twitter, Mountain West Connection Facebook. We're nearing 1,000 likes. That's pretty good.
And I'm over 400 followers.
Finally. Let's just hope we don't get that scumbag who unfollows you just because they saw you get to 400.
No, that hasn't happened yet.
Hopefully. And hopefully you get a boost, because typically when you get milestones, 400, 500, 1,000, 2,000, you get a boost of about 10% more followers or 5% more followers pretty quickly. So,
nice. Lessons in social media, Mountain West Connection. Hey. Educational and fun.
Yeah, and I know a little bit for various jobs and whatnot, how to work on those things. But let's get going. We're no off-topic tonight. We're getting right into the games. No messing around. No nothing. It's late. I got things to do. You got things to do. We want to sleep.
We're recruiting you to read our website. So let's pitch it.
To what? Sorry, I missed that part. What did you say? Recruit to what?
So we're recruiting our listeners to read the website.
Yeah. If you.
So let's play out the pitch. And the pitch is our analysis.
Yeah, that's our pitch. And we got plenty of pitching to do tonight. So. Yes. Tell your friends. SoundCloud, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio when I get around to it. That's the way to listen, the website. So let's get going. We have BYU at Boise State Friday night. Another BYU Mountain West game, which is good. It's a good team. It's a struggling. Struggling.
So does this mean BYU's back in the conference yet?
Might as well be. They're essentially associate member. They're playing, who do they got? Boise, Nevada, Utah State,
UNLV. Utah State.
Nevada.
Yep.
Yeah, they got the Aztecs and the Maui invite, and I guarantee, and that's for basketball, I guarantee the Maui people did that on purpose.
They've got one more team they played this year, and I forgot who they were.
They do? In the Mountain West?
Yeah, BYU.
Nah, they play UNLV down the road.
I know they play. I already said UNLV.
Yeah, I'll pull up their schedule right now. See,
I got their schedule up. Don't worry about it.
You beat me to it.
Yeah, Quick draw, McGraw.
Let me guess, it's nobody. I know they played Middletown.
Utah State, Nevada, Boise State, UNLV. Yeah, nope, it's only four teams this year.
Oh, only four?
Only four out of an eight-game conference. Yeah. So they're like halfway in the conference.
They're like Notre Dame. But this game, BYU versus Boise State's on a roll. Boise State's playing very well. Even with Matt Miller gone wide receiver, he got, was it Shane McMichaels? Is that his name?
Jeremy McNichols,
Jeremy
Jake Rowe at tight end, Holden Huff at tight end. You basically have an actual wide receiver arsenal that we can use.
So in my interview earlier today when I said this guy Michaels for Boise State, nobody knew who I was talking about.
And don't forget Thomas Spearbeck. He's been huge last week. He was huge last week.
You know what I realized when I was discussing Boise State earlier today?
What?
We know their secondary's been kind of...
Nah.
Well, they make plays, they give up yards, but we know it hasn't been at full strength. Did you realize, like, I know Jeremy Owens has missed games, but the top three guys like have missed a combined 7 games this year.
Really?
Or 7.5 games. Like, looking through... shoot, I had a little paper written down, but Jeremy Owens missed 2 games, has an interception. And who are the other two guys that are leading the league?
Johnson Dion was out. Darian Thompson.
Yeah, Darian Thompson's missed 3 games. I believe I'm checking right now. And then the other guy missed two games and missed 3 quarters of another game. And they're both still in the top 10 in interceptions.
Which is... So, making plays, missing tackles, forcing turnovers.
Yeah, that's what they need to do. In this game, BYU, as we'll get to our picks momentarily, but we're making our picks against the line from what I posted, and it was 6 points. Is it still 6 points in favor of Boise State?
It's 7.
7?
It's 7.
Touchdown. And it makes sense. I haven't heard much about BYU running back Jamal Williams, because he's going to be the key if BYU is going to be able to beat Boise State. Because they don't have Taysom Hill. They don't have wide receiver Nick Kurtz. They're missing, I think, an offensive lineman.
But quarterback Christian Stewart managed to pull off 406 yards and 4 touchdowns last week.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I was thinking of, like, going through things earlier today. They don't need to throw that many. If they throw that many times, they'll lose worse than they did versus Nevada. And even though it was only 7 points, but Boise secondary, Nevada secondary, I don't think I'm too off base saying they're comparable in styles. Boise doesn't give up as many yards, and they make a few more plays. Does that make sense?
I see that, yeah.
Like, Nevada gives up yards, makes plays. Same thing for Boise, but Boise, it's more... They're not giving up 300-plus yards a game. They're giving
up... They were at the beginning of the year. They're not now.
Yeah. And until I've looked around for a while, I haven't seen anything on, like, Jamal Williams coming back. He had an ankle injury. If he's out... It's gonna be a double digit win for Boise State, because he's their only weapon. Like, they're down to the 3rd and 4th string running backs. Stewart can throw the ball like crazy, but I don't think there's enough. You're not gonna throw 60 times again, and he gets a better secondary and be better than last week.
Yeah, I don't know. That's gonna be extremely difficult. And I was looking at Vanquish the Foe earlier. I'm trying to find if there's any updates to them.
On Jamal Williams?
Or yeah.
Anything? I looked around. I haven't seen anything. I haven't seen any practice. I'm following, like, I used to cover the team. I know who to find on Twitter and stuff. There's been no real updates on anything about his status, and BYU is typically pretty quiet on that. But one thing, too, that's been real interesting, not that it matters towards... Well, it does matter, but Boise State, there's a lot of former BYU players complaining quite a bit about, well, the defense needs to be better, the players not enough talent, just kind of bashing how the defense has been playing. So I'm wondering if there's a chance that it could be the opposite effect, where the defense, which has been struggling, will have a big game because there's all this pressure and people talking about them. Like, saying how bad they are.
Right.
So that...
Well, it seems that the computer predictions and odds based on Vanquish the Foe's website basically outlies, just flat out says that BYU is a complete underdog in this game.
Yeah, I read that. They're more fair. Sometimes you're be a homer. It's a site you want to root for your team. But I was surprised how... I think Brett may have written something pretty well for them, Brett Hine, about saying, Boise's the favorite, and they should be the favorite, and they're should be the favorite to win.
Yeah.
Because I'm running through the, I found it right here. From J. Drew, Salt Lake Tribune. Offensive coordinator Robert and I expect Jamal Williams to play with Boise State. So, there you go. But who knows what that means? Do you know what I mean? It's like Robert and I, he's a character, I should say. Having spoken to him, and he's one of the guys that's like, oh man, we're not very good at anything. I won't talk about any player specifically. There's all things to work on. We do well, but I'm not going to say if number 10 did well or not. He's one of those guys. He gives you nothing but talks forever.
Gotcha.
So if we believe him and says Jamal Williams is going to play, then BYU has a legitimate chance to win this game.
But they'll still lose by at least a touchdown.
I still think it'll be closer, because if Jamal wasn't playing, I would say double digits for Boise State to win. With him playing, within 1 score, single digits, because him and JJ are probably the two best running backs out west. You got Devontae Booker, Utah, Pac-12, but they're, if you were to list 10 running backs, they'd be in the top five out, probably almost nationally, or at least out west.
Here's the thing about this game. When Utah State played BYU, they stifled the running game pretty well, except for a couple big plays, the first one that Taysom Hill had, and then a couple of big plays that Jamal Williams had. Mm-hmm. Boise State's front seven is very similar to Utah State's front seven. That's why even if Jamal Williams plays, I see Boise State giving up one or two big plays like they did last week to Fresno State. But at the same time, they can contain this BYU run rush offense very easily. And so it's going to force Christian Stewart to be completely one-dimensional.
Well, yeah. Well, Jamal Williams, they need to get, if I'm going to take the BYU side, they need to give him maybe 25 carries because they're already missing the multiple running backs. Like last week, there was this dude, Nate Carter, who stepped up to have a good game, but they're missing Adam Hine, their backup, and also Algie Brown, one of their other backups. Like, their number two, three, and four guys are almost similar. They're not too far apart. But still, if you're missing depth and they use those guys more than I probably think they should have, and when I see them play the Mountain West teams, they're not using Jamal Williams enough. But you're right, though. He can't, the way – we know there's no DeMarcus Lawrence on this Boise State team playing defensive end. But we've seen them play well enough to stop a lot of – to stop plays. Like, there's Ole Miss, it was all the passing game, Bo Wallace or nothing, it seemed like.
Right. So, your take, who's going to win this game?
Oh, Boise by a touchdown.
So, are they going to cover?
Six, yes.
No, seven.
Oh, I thought we were going by what we had on the website.
Oh, are we going by what? Okay.
We need to make sure we're clear here. What do we want to go by?
Let's go current.
Well, okay, so current is seven?
Current is seven.
No 6.5, 7.5 for me there?
No, I'm to go. Let me pull. Okay, fine. Let me pull up sports. What you call it? What's the website? Oddshark.
Yeah, Oddshark. Yeah, that's
pull up Oddshark.
Partner with SB Nation. Go by so Oddshark. Let's go to the home cooking there. Support people who support us.
All right, let's go. We're going by Oddshark.
Seven right now. Seven.
Seven.
Whew, that's seven. It's terrible. It's a terrible line. Seven. You know what I mean? You can't.
Yeah, well, because it's exactly by a touchdown. There's no drawing here. Greater or less than seven. It was 6.5 to open with, by the way.
Yeah, I will go less than. BYU will cover at seven. What?
Okay, fine. My
reasoning, you have Jamal Williams back, and I am, no. Here's why I'm going to go over. Here's why. I'm taking Boise State to win by more than seven. Here's my reason why. We saw it Robert and I did when Christian Stewart came in versus Utah State, going deep, throwing the ball, ignoring the best running back on the field. And then they throw 60-plus times versus Nevada. I get missing guys, but no. They're going to want to go deep. Boise's going to make plays, and they're going to get a defensive touchdown and win by more than seven. But still single digits.
Okay, I'll take that.
Yes. What about you? Cover, win,
spread? I think Boise's going to cover and beat win by two touchdowns, but
ooh.
That's a little bit of a homer.
Boise homer? Yeah, you're teased. Nobody's going to trust you ever again.
Right.
Trap game. Wait, I don't think we're going to get into that, but no. So, Boise covers by two touchdowns for you. Me, single digits, but more than a touchdown.
Okay, next game.
San Jose State at Navy, CBS Sports Network. We get an early game out here, 1 Eastern.
11 a.m.
11 Mountain and 10 Pacific there for you out there in the West Coast, Western Pacific time zone.
I love breakfast with my football.
Side question. You watch the NFL a bit, don't you?
I do.
Do you know what time the first game is on this Sunday?
Is it a noon game? Is it a 9 a.m. game?
Oh, No.
It's earlier. It's 5 a.m., right?
London. 6:30. Or 6:30 Pacific time, Jacksonville and Detroit, right?
Yeah. So that means it's a 1 o'clock game over there. No.
Yeah, it's longer. A day game. Yeah, it's afternoon 3, game.
3:30.
Yeah, it's an afternoon game. It's like if you're at West Coast, you just party all night to watch NFL in the morning and take a nap.
Sounds like something I do.
I guarantee, well, as we're going off topic, going to show to be quick. I guarantee they're doing this in case they want a team in London, and then they could have an exclusive game and charge more money for TV rights. So that's the reason to check the ratings for this early, early game.
And also have Jacksonville. And...
yeah, be done before most people are awake, right? On the West Coast.
So San Jose State, Navy.
How is Navy a double-digit favorite?
Home game, 10 a.m. start time, Pacific.
Bad team, though.
No, Navy and San Jose State are comparable. I mean, you got triple option versus fairly pass heavy, but a little bit more balanced. Navy's just had some bad, questionable losses, too. And the reason why I know this is I've been, for those of you who don't know, I'm the military academy manager at Underdog, or military academy editor at Underdog Dynasty. So I've been watching a little bit of Navy football. But okay, you lose by Ohio State by 17. Cool, fine, whatever. You lose to Rutgers. Western Kentucky, who's been horrible this year, lose to a very good Air Force team. And then, that's four losses, but their wins have been against, 7-point win versus Temple, who is not turning out to be a good Temple team. 14-point win over Texas State, who's horrible. And a blowout win versus
Texas State. Texas State is 3-3. Not horrible.
Not horrible?
But not good. 3-3.
Same team that lost to Louisiana Lafayette. Of course, Louisiana Lafayette's looking better, but it's the same team that lost to Louisiana Lafayette by 24. Took them three overtimes to beat Tulsa, had to beat Idaho by coming from behind.
Well, okay. But still, also, Keenan Reynolds hasn't been fully healthy, their quarterback. He had 30 rushing touchdowns last year, I believe, over 30. And him and Capri Biggs go with Monte Ball, that I think Barry Sanders is the only player ever with 30 rushing touchdowns. He's missed two games. He hasn't been healthy in all the games. He has, 12 touchdowns here?
Yeah.
Or excuse me, 8 touchdowns here. He's been sacked too many times. Their offensive line's terrible. 13 sacks. 10 have come at home. Jeez. But here's the thing, too. Spartans front, run defense? Terrible. Terrible. Remember that Minnesota game, folks?
Yeah.
Maybe that's where the line's coming at 9 points.
People just think San Jose State's horrible and people are just betting on Navy.
True.
The confusing thing is this line opened up at Navy minus 10, so it's gone down one.
1 point, yes. It's now 9.
I think it's just a combination of early start time.
Name, maybe recognition?
Name recognition, and probably there's probably a little bit better talent with Navy than there is at San Jose State.
Really? San Jose State, Joe Gray's looking really good to get Tyler Winston. Even if Jared Larson doesn't play, or maybe not play, Tyler Irvin's good running the ball. They have weapons. And Joe Gray's last game, and against Wyoming, he had a huge game. What did he have here? He completed 73% of his passes. 322 yards, 2 TDs, no interceptions. He hasn't thrown an interception in 2 games. I think it's going to be him. He's going to have a field day throwing the ball against Navy, I think. And him and Tyler Winston are going to have a big game. I think that's how it's going to come down for Spartans to win.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what the Spartans have to do. But I mean, no matter what, San Jose State is covering this -9 line. If they lose, it's going to be by less than 9.
I'm going outright victory because of Joe Gray stepping up, and they're going to cover and win.
Will the San Jose State rushing team hit 100 yards total?
Rushing offense? Mm-hmm. As a team or one person?
No, as a team.
Oh, yeah, they'll get over 100 yards, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going with you. I think San Jose State will be the outright win.
They give up a lot of points, 22 a game, which is concerning. I think this could be a higher scoring game a little bit, but Navy hasn't been impressing at all. And Keenan Reynolds.
My biggest concern about this is that remember the last time San Jose State played a heavy, heavy rush team?
Minnesota, right?
Minnesota, and they just got blown out.
Well, new quarterback now. They do not have Blake Jurek. They have Joe Gray. And part of that game was a bad interception at the half, where it should have been 17-7 at the half, or not 17-7, excuse me, should have been 10-7 at the half, but it was 17-7. So, but they even discounting that 207 yards, 161 yards for David Cobb and Chris Drevler for Minnesota. That is a big concern, but I still think San Jose State, they've got to be better than that. They'll give up yards to Navy. That's fine. Don't give up the. Don't let Keenan Reynolds or whoever's running the ball get over like a 9 yard per carry average in a game. Keep them pretty limited. Anything else to add? Or are you figuring, like, you said they're going to win outright as well?
I think they're going to win outright as well. They're right. Definitely going to cover. Oh, probably going to win.
The most interesting game, in my opinion, of the weekend is UNLV at Utah State.
Can we consider this game of the weekend?
Yeah. No, should we go Border War for that?
Let's say Border War for that.
Well, BYU Boise State's good, but BYU's struggling. We'll go Border War for a couple reasons, but UNLV... go ahead, what was that?
I said rivalry.
Yes, rivalry. UNLV Utah State, 4 Eastern. I like how the games are spread out, too, on Saturday. That's nice as well. We watch each game in each block. You don't have to worry about too much overlap, if at all. And then we just wait until Hawaii plays hours later.
Right.
But it's on ESPN News or the Watch ESPN app. So, 4 Eastern in Logan, Utah. Craig Harrison is your starting quarterback for the Aggies going forward. Still no word on Daryl Gerritsen. But I'm not sure if you read my comment, but I think I make an interesting point here. If they took an X-ray, I assume Coach Wells would say there's a broken or fractured wrist. He may or may not. But if by him indicating they still want another look with an MRI, it makes me think it's not a broken wrist. Is that safe
either
to
way,
say, perhaps?
I mean,
is that safe to say anything? Because you don't check a broken bone for MRI.
It's decent to say.
And that meaning it's a possibility he could return this year if it's a... Well, torn tendon ligament can't take longer to heal, perhaps, but who knows if it was just some sort of dislocation. I don't know. It just seems it may not be as bad as it is if you need the MRI. Or it could be the worst thing ever, where you have an X-ray, holy crap, it shattered, and then he pulled however many tendons or muscles in your wrist. But I'm thinking there could be a slight silver lining that if they need an MRI, they would have announced maybe it was some sort of broken wrist or something, but maybe. I think that's safe to say a little bit.
Gotcha.
But they're
fans. I totally agree with that. But this spread is interesting.
Huge.
Because it's Utah State by an 18-point spread, which I would buy if Daryl Gerritsen was playing or if Chucky Keaton was playing. This is not. We're in the third string now. And to top it off, UNLV is on a one-game win streak.
That's not a win streak.
That's confidence. No, you're right. One game is not a win streak.
It's like, haven't you seen Major League?
Yeah.
That scene about the winning streak. The one thing about...
No, it's not on their typical losing streak that they are.
There we go. Yeah, they're not on the losing streak. There we go. But you know Craig Harrison's... he's been in the program for a couple years, a senior. He played a bit last year. He only played versus Idaho State this year. The defense is going to lead this team. We were joking, like, put Nick Vigil or Hunter Sharp at quarterback and rotate those guys around. Well, I don't think that'll happen, but I think what Utah State...
Nick Vigil at quarterback?
Yeah, Nick Vigil. He did throw a pass, right?
Wildcat. Wildcat formation every single time.
Him and Hunter Sharp. But I think the big thing, they're going to win. Because I said in my kind of the early odds post, I'm never trusting UNLV again until they prove it to me for more than 1 year in a row.
Yeah, but that's 17 points.
I know. I'm spoiler. I'm taking the Aggies to cover and win, to cover that 17 points.
Oh my goodness!
This could be a stupid upset pick for the opposite way, but Blake Decker's terrible at throwing the ball. He's not completing passes well. We don't know Shaquille Murray Lawrence. Do you have any insight on that from last week?
I saw him from a distance at the library.
That's all I'm saying. Was there any bandages on him or anything? Any protective gear?
No, he was wearing sweatshirt and sweatpants, which means that he was studying. So
traditional athlete wear.
Yeah, traditional athlete wear that doesn't show anything.
Okay, just curious. I didn't know.
Plus, I wasn't paying that much close attention because I kind of had a 20-page paper to finish up.
Yeah.
So
he's just been the mystery man all year, and I think with Utah State, their defense will be fine and showed. I think the way it's going to come out to be, they'll probably be maybe a defensive touchdown or a short field, and they'll get some easy points. But what I want to see here is Hunter Sharp was non-existent versus Colorado State. Partly because Rams have a good defense, and then also they changed quarterbacks with injury, and Craig Harrison, just timing and chemistry's not there with Garrettson and Sharp. If they can get on the same page, offense could be near with Darryl Garrettson under center.
Damn unstoppable.
You know what I mean? I think that's fair to say that if he can have that going for those two guys, they'll be good to go.
I don't know. The thing I'm looking for is Decker to continue using Devontae Boyd as a weapon until Davis gets better.
Is Davis still officially out for this game?
I do not know.
Let's do research now during the show. I thought his hand injury kept him out for a couple weeks, so I'm pretty sure he's out. But what did Boyd do last week? He stepped up for a reasonably good game last week in the win versus Nevada.
Yeah,
Versus Fresno State. 2 weeks ago, yeah. Let's see here. It says we'll probably look into this later and put it in the notes. Perhaps we don't need to bore you.
Players watching UNLV, Utah State.
Pretty sure he's out though.
This is from the LBRJ.
That's where I'm at as well. Since you told me to never look at the other paper.
Yep. But it looks like Devontae Davis is still out because they would have listed him on here.
Yeah, he's okay. If he's out, that's another issue. Another reason to take Aggies into points, 17 points there. And also, yeah, but Decker, he needs to complete better passes. They have good talent, but we also know UNLV's defense is terrible. So, from Utah State side, I want to see them get Joe Hill involved and see what Craig Harrison can do with Hunter Sharp throwing the ball. And the Aggies have it easy because they play UNLV, Hawaii, Wyoming, New Mexico. Wyoming should be okay. They can win their next four games pretty handily, being 8-3 at that point.
Here's the thing. If Decker plays like how he did against Fresno State, remember, in that game he was 29 of 40 for 332 yards and one touchdown, one pick. If he can put those kinds of stats up against Utah State, UNLV has a very, very good chance of winning this game.
I agree, but Fresno's secondary outside Daron Smith is not very good.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
That's probably got Brian Sweet back there. They have a couple of guys who are making plays in the secondary for Utah State. So what's your pick? Are you picking the Rebels to cover this thing?
I am picking the Rebels to cover.
Homer pick. Again, another homer pick.
Okay, you're telling me that 17 points is not unrealistic for a heavily depleted Aggie team?
It is, but again, I'm not trusting UNLV no matter what. They need to show me 17
games. Then it's not a true homer pick.
I know. I get you. I'm just saying, I want to see it more than a year and a half minimum, and they haven't shown that, so I'm going back to my old days of never pick UNLV. So Wyoming at Colorado State, this game's on Root Sports, the bronze boot is up for grabs, the border war there.
And so this is our game of the week. Okay, so yes. just a little bit about the history of Colorado State, Wyoming.
Do you know when it started? No. Do you know?
Yes, 1899.
Is that the official? What's the controversy? Is it over?
That is the first start date. Okay, so the teams have played each other 104 times, 1899, which means it's one of the oldest rivalries in the nation. However, since the trophy started. The trophy started in 1968, and since the trophy has started, Wyoming leads the series 24-22. Before then, Colorado State leads the full series 56-44, 5-5. So five ties. Now, thank you, Wikipedia. History of the bronze boot, because why the hell would you fight over a boot?
Yeah, I don't know. You're in the Outback.
Yeah, no, the boot was worn in the Vietnam War by Captain Dan J. Romero.
Oh, so it's an actual – I didn't know that. It was an actual boot worn by somebody.
Yep, it was an actual boot, and the guy was an instructor at Colorado State between 67 and 69.
Awesome. That's cool.
So this is kind of a cool tradition. Each year leading up to the Colorado State-Wyoming game, game ball is carried in by a running shuttle relay by the ROTC detachment of the visiting team.
Correct. I got that email this morning about that.
That's pretty cool. Can we get, like, get coverage on that?
What was that?
Did we have somebody, one of our writers, like, go watch that?
I'll email Terrence or somebody and see. Where's the game at? I should know this. It's in. Hey, maybe it's in Colorado Springs. We'll see. But what some news about what I also got earlier today, running back DJ May has an undisclosed knee injury. Status unknown.
Son Wick.
Yeah, so status is unknown on, like, the email was pretty short. Like, here's what we know, which is we don't know much. The doctors will be looking at his knee later. And I'm pretty sure, let me make sure I got the right name. I've been so busy today doing lots of things. Let me make sure it was DJ Maven. I'm pretty sure it was, because I put it out on Twitter. Take a quick look. Yeah, that's one of my last tweets earlier today. Let's see here. Yeah, DJ May suffered knee injury in today's practice, or on Wednesday's practice, which was yesterday. Doctors have not yet evaluated tests, and this email came Thursday afternoon. So if he's out, that's a tough blow for Wyoming there. And the Rams are already favored by 18.5. Is that the current line still?
That is still the current line, 18.5.
Do you think, is that too much, you think?
This is a rivalry game. I don't care how bad Wyoming is. It's a rivalry game.
And Wyoming's not that bad. It's a massive.
I could say that about Oregon and Washington, too.
Yeah.
Hey, another trivia piece. So you know how I said it's the 104th year of this rivalry?
Yes.
Where does that rank in the terms of all college football rivalries?
Top 10, easily.
No.
Number one?
Second.
Let me guess. Number one. Oh, number one is Utah State, Utah. Correct.
Nope.
Oh, I thought they played like 112 times.
Yeah, they're up there. They're in the top 20.
Wait, what is it? Wait, maybe I misheard you. I thought you said they played this series like 105 games.
Yes, 105 years.
But I thought Utah State, Utah played 112 times.
Yeah, they played 112 times.
But you said that was not more, or that was not the most.
That's not the most.
Oh,
the most,
okay.
23. What?
Army, Navy, Navy, Notre Dame?
Nope.
Yale, Princeton?
Nope.
Harvard, Yale?
Think big. Actually, Harvard, Yale is probably older, but that doesn't count because they're not FBS.
Michigan, Notre Dame? No, Michigan, Ohio State?
Nope.
USC?
Minnesota, Wisconsin.
Oh, think bigger. Big Ten. There you go.
That's what I said. Minnesota, Wisconsin, 123 years, they battle for an axe, Paul Bunyan's axe.
Interesting.
What so, team, in terms what of the trophies...
Did, wait. What team did Paul Bunyan play for?
He didn't.
What about his blue ox, whoever it was, who drank the Grand Canyon? That's why it's there.
But anyway, so a very, very historic rivalry. This opened up at 21.5 points, not at 18.5. So the line has gone down, but still, 18.5 is tons to cover. And I really want to say that Wyoming's going to come and make a game out of this. But from what I've seen from them, I don't know. And
are they wearing
I gotta
down?
Say, what?
Are they wearing down?
The I think they're wearing down. I think year one of Craig Bull, they're instilling some great defense, not some great offense yet.
Not yet.
So I got to –
Well, even points against is not – It's 30 per game. They let Hawaii score 38 points on them.
Right. And with Garrett Grayson to Rashard Higgins, I mean, that's just going to be...
Unstoppable.
Right.
Well, you got Blair Burns might be matched up with him, so that will... Blair Burns is a very good defensive back in his own right.
Yeah. And throw in D. Hart. I mean, I got to go with Colorado State with the 18.5 points here.
You do? Interesting. Because I think Wyoming's rush defense is good enough to slow somebody down.
Somebody, but how many?
Well, yeah, I guess what Colorado State might be at full strength that they're missing a backup last week running game. I'm just wondering, because they played San Jose State. Here's the thing. Well, no, maybe you're right, because San Jose State was without Jared Lawson last week, and Tyler Irvin stepped in for 96 yards, and he's the backup. I'm taking Wyoming to cover, just because I think Wyoming's able to hold the... Oh, but then they'll have DJ May, so that makes it more difficult. He may or may not play. And we did say, one of our good buddy who does our meme stuff now mentioned this could be a game where the Rams might be sleepwalking a little bit, which probably not the case, but coming off a big win over Utah State, maybe a little bit, maybe early in the game, but I think it's because if you look who the Rams have the Rams blown anybody out this year?
See, it's the conflict of Germany fighting over.
I hear that. They've only blown out a couple teams, and both teams have been pretty bad. Tulsa and UC Davis, right? So are they going to blow out another team?
I'm going to say it's a blowout.
Why do you think it's a blowout? Just because they're so much better?
I just think I think the only reason why this wouldn't be a blowout is because Colorado State blew out Wyoming last year in Laramie, and Wyoming would seriously want revenge. But the thing is, do they have the talent, and are they healthy enough to pull out that same stop? And I just don't see it happening. I don't think it's going to be another 30-point victory like last year. But I'll give him 20 points. I'll give him 3 touchdowns.
I'll go that route, too. After thinking about it, Wyoming's lost 3 in a row, 4 or 5. If they're down DJ May, they give up too many points to Hawaii. Rams they're on a roll. They want to beat teams bad. And the thing is, they have to win. If they're going to make the title game, they have to win out and still need help. I'm going with you. They're going to win by 21 points. I'm changing. It'll be like 40 to 20 or something like that. 30-10. Maybe not that big. Maybe 30-10. You know what I mean? Wyoming probably won't get many points, but especially if DJ May, from the information I have now, DJ May possibly not playing. Their weapons extremely limited now. So Rams for the big win.
All right. So final game.
Hawaii.
Hey, guess what?
What?
It's the final game, and we're only about 40 minutes in.
Brilliant. Actually, we're 35 minutes in. This game, I wish it was on New Sports. It's on online only for the Mountain West Network, Campus Insiders. Nevada.
Which means it's going to be Robert Kekaula and company who are announcing this game.
It would have been him anyways because he was on the Root Sports broadcast. So what's your reasoning for this line or thought for line dropping closer to Hawaii?
Well, this line started at -4 and now it's at -2.5 for Nevada. And Hawaii hasn't gotten better. I just think Hawaii has an extra advantage going to the islands. And remember that betting is not necessarily about statistics. It's about who's betting on who. So if enough people are betting on Hawaii, based off what the spread is, not very many people are buying into Nevada. And not very many people, and people are always saying, oh, the islands, right? So I think it's moving that spread a little back down to 2.5.
I think part of it could be Nevada has won, one time ever at Hawaii. They broke that streak very recently.
Even when Nevada was 12-1, they beat Boise State that year.
They lost to Hawaii.
They lost to Hawaii.
Had they beaten Hawaii, they would have been in a BCS game.
They lost to Hawaii badly. It was like 21-10, I think it was. And that was Colin Kaepernick's last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're ranked, 12 strange in the country happens or something.
Strange things happen on the islands. We know this. I mean, Hawaii almost beat Oregon State and Washington.
Yeah, I got to go to Nevada. Here's the reason, Nevada. Nevada's too good in the offensive category, and Hawaii's too bad on offense. Hawaii right. can't keep
but up. But Hawaii's defense held San Diego State to 20 points last week.
And on the road, too.
And on the road. Which means they're slowly getting better.
However,
never the mind that Donnell Pumphrey was basically the whole offense.
That's what I was getting at. He gave up. He ran for how many yards against them? Almost 200.
No, he ran over 200.
Oh, he did. He did surpass. I'm looking right here. He had 182 and a touchdown.
No, almost 100. So multi-purpose, he was over 200.
Yeah, and so whether it's Fajardo, Don Jackson.
The thing is, Nevada does not have a player like Pumphrey.
No.
They're going to spread the football around.
Yeah, Richie Turner, Jericho Richardson, those type of guys.
Hudson Henderson, yeah. Don Jackson, he's been okay.
I'll predict Don Jackson will get over 100 yards, right about 100 yards.
Okay. I'm with you. I think Nevada covers.
It's only 2.5. That's a field goal. Hawaii can't keep up. And plus, we've seen Nevada, if they're down, they could score. Like, what did they score, 29 straight versus BYU last week in like 15 minutes or something? They're a team. Like, I expect Fajardo, and I think it might be close for a little while, but it won't be. They'll pull away at the end. They're not going to win by 30 points, but they'll probably win by 2 touchdowns.
I'm going to go with Nevada by, probably 13, 14 points.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I wish,
there's really not much more analysis we could do on this game. It's a 9 p.m. kickoff in terms of Pacific time, which means 6 p.m. Hawaii time, which means midnight on the East Coast. So those of you on the East Coast, you got to better stay up and watch it. You've got Nevada who's looking pretty damn good. You've got Hawaii who's looking
a little better.
A little bit better.
They need their defense.
They have 2 wins. They doubled their win total from last year.
Yeah. This is a game where Nevada can sharpen.
Steve Lakalaka did not play well last week. Neither did Diosome St. James, who had a great game the week before. And Iosefa, we know, is out because he's getting into off
the football trouble. Plus the injury. You know? And look, Ikeke Woosley is kind of hampered. I've read some stuff. His like lower back bothered him, and he's the only quarterback they have. So it's like
only way I could see this is if, like, you know, Air Bud tries out for the football team all of a sudden, and they let him on. And all of a sudden, he starts just throwing the ball.
Air Bud. They made like 15 of those movies. They're so terrible.
Yeah, but the first one was pretty damn good.
Sure.
I was a kid.
I know. So was I. I was younger as well. I just see him on TV. Like, you'll see him, like, oh, Air Bud plays soccer. Air Bud plays football. There's Air Bud puppies. Like, geez, what the?
Air Bud's been busy.
They're making money, so good for them, right?
Something. Are they still making money? I'm not sure if they're still making money anymore.
They're making movies. They're probably going straight to DVD and little kids around them in junk, or they're put on Netflix and they're on there forever.
Right.
All right, do we have any other football related that's non-Air Bud or non-K9 topics?
Okay, so the high school that I work at, it's their zombie prom tomorrow, which I'm going to be at instead of watching the Boise State BYU game. What should I go as?
A zombie?
Screw that.
Are you chaperoning?
Yes.
Lucky you.
Oh, speaking of which, so next week is Halloween, right? Next Friday is Halloween?
Yeah.
Yeah, we should have a Mountain West dress-up thingy.
What do you mean?
Remember how last year we said that the Mount West coaches should have a party and then go dressed up as?
Vaguely. Sure. Oh, yes, I do. Okay, we can do that. Should we have Kyle set that up since he's our funny bone guy now?
Yeah.
The resident comedian.
Well, we might get something together.
Well, yeah, if you have suggestions, let us know. We'll think of a few things. Everything on top of your head right now?
Norm Chow is sleeping.
Weekend at Chow's?
Weekend at Chow's. Weekend at Norm's.
Yes. Weekend at Norm. Uncle Norm. Grandpa Normie. That's what we'll do.
Except it's Grandpa Norm who's the one who's taking Bernie around, and Bernie's acting as his quarterback.
We should make a shirt. Well, that'd be difficult. No, that's too mean. That's like a shirt. A guy dressed in the quarterback with dark glasses and a little walking cane. That'd be too mean. Improve your accuracy, fella. Okay, that's not. It's funny when you think about it, but that's not. No, that's.
No, that's hilarious. I don't know what you're talking about.
It could be, but it wouldn't make sense, but it's hilarious. So let's. Let's get going. Let's wrap it up here. So we got our picks in. My apparently dumb pick you think is Utah State to cover versus UNLV. I think that's a great pick, but that's all we got to say. We promised a short show. We are at 43 minutes and 15 seconds of counting. This will be about 47 minutes with the theme song and be wrapping up. So check us out, mwcconnection.com. Give us a review, SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher Radio. We have 17 subscribers on Stitcher. Let's get that to 20. If you have Android, use Stitcher.
I do use Stitcher.
Can't recommend it enough. As for an app. SoundCloud works good too, but Stitcher for a phone.
Stitcher's fantastic.
For the phone purposes, I prefer Stitcher on that part if it's available. So again, mwcconnection.com. Check us out. Have a great weekend, and let's hope
One last thing before you finish.
What is that?
So we briefly talked about it. If you have t-shirt ideas that we could possibly be doing, send us your idea. If we like your idea and we send in the approval for a shirt, we'll send you a shirt.
Send those in to mountainwestfootball@gmail.com. Reminder, cannot use coaches' names, school names, or mascots, I believe.
Yeah.
We can make it work. There's plenty of things you can do. You can use a state name. Like, you can just use the town Boise. That's not trademarked. Boise State?
No, it's not.
That is. So.
University of Wyoming? Trademarked. Wyoming? Not trademarked.
And Cowboys? Not trademarked either. So, we can make
Football
it work.
Football Bob? Yeah. Not trademarked.
Football Bob! Yeah. So, if you want shirts, send those in. MountainWestFootball@gmail.com. You can even send in a terrible version. Maybe Kirsch or I can spruce it up on Photoshop if you need some help. Or give us an idea. We already got the Quinter back in the works, so we like that.
We do have the Quinter back offense in the works. We have Grandpa Norm's blank company. We haven't decided. I like Lay Company, and Jeremy liked Cookie Company.
We'll figure it out.
We also have a Wyoming shirt in the works.
Oh, that's right. You still need to send me
And
that.
We have official slogans for our blog that are in the works. So if you have a slogan for the blog, go tell us what a slogan for the blog. Let's make that a Mountain West hashtag war.
We had Geographically Sound for our shirt last time, right?
We had for Geographically Sound last time. Do you like Geographically Sound?
Not bad.
Maybe not. Let's put this out on Twitter.
Sure, we'll do that. There's also the Travel Channel post you put about a year and a half ago about the new TV deal.
That is 2 years ago. I can't believe that was 2 years
it's
ago.
Classic. That I read, I think I put it somewhere recently and just retweeted this out for the heck of it, and that happened. So let's we're done with the show here. This is it. Like I said, as you've probably heard me say five times, this is mwcconnection.com. Listen to our show. Thanks for reading. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. And let's hope
that's at Jeremy Mouse. I am at Freak Padre.
Freak Padre, yes. And let's hope your team wins this weekend. So have a good one, folks.